Well, the title this morning, if you're a note taker, I thought about what the title should be. And the title this morning of the sermon is Transferring the Resurrection Power into Your Life. Transferring the Resurrection Power into Your Life. It's Easter Sunday, March 31st. It's the last Sunday in the month of March in 2013. Do you realize a quarter of the year is already gone? Oh my gosh. Someone shout, he's alive! He's alive! He's alive! Isn't it good that he's alive? Because that tells me something about Jesus, is that he was true to his word in every form and every fashion. When he said that he's alive, that should tell you something, that there's things that in your life that have been dead now are alive. It means that there's hope for a better life. There means there's joy, there's power. It means that we've been forgiven. It means that Jesus, what he did on Easter Sunday, he did for us for eternity. He shifted the atmosphere of our being by raising from the dead. Amen? How about you? That was good news. The resurrection is the basis of our Christian faith. Our faith destroys our unbelief. Without faith, you can't go anywhere. You can't accomplish anything. You can't complete anything. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we would be serving a dead God. And guess what? I wouldn't be showing up to church. I'd be doing whatever I want to do because there wasn't really a God then. But he rose from the dead. We'd be wasting our time worshiping a dead God. So many still do. That's why we got to tell them about Jesus. Amen. The words, he is not here, but he has risen, changed the course of history and continues to do so. That's why it's so important to understand about the resurrection, because there's power in the resurrection of Jesus. And we need to understand something this morning. There was a stone that was placed in front of the opening where Jesus' body was buried. And it was placed there for several reasons. One, they did not want him or anyone to steal his body and say, look, he fulfilled the scriptures there. See, someone took his body and see, those Christians. The stone was not rolled away because Jesus had to come out. I mean, Jesus could move mountains. I mean, he healed blind eyes and he made ears open and hear, and he did many miracles. He could have moved the rock by just saying a word and it would have crumbled. When the stone was rolled away, it was for you and I so that we could look in and see that there was an empty tomb and that it would be visible to everybody to prove that there was the evidence that Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. Jesus wants this morning to transfer his resurrection power into our lives today. He wants us to shift our atmosphere. He wants to stir some things up in you. He wants to change some things that you've been doing and go in a different direction. Amen? Easter to me means victory. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. That's what it means to me. That Jesus did something for me. And this morning, I just want to share a few scriptures with you. We'll break it down a little bit and then we'll get out of here because I know some of you want to go be with your family. We want to go have some dinner. We want to celebrate this holiday season that Jesus created. Not the Easter Bunny, not Cadbury eggs. I got to go buy them. They're going to be on sale here, 50 cents here pretty soon. You know, at Walmart, they're going to be given that special price. That's when I clean up. Amen. I get my year's supply. Okay, my month's supply. All right, my week's supply. Amen. If you open your Bible this morning, take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:42. Chapter 15, verse 42 through 44. It's the New Living Translation of the Bible. And I want to show you something so that you get it. I don't fear death. I've defeated death twice in my life that I'm aware of. There's other times I probably defeated it as well. But I know two times I defeated it with Jesus' help that I can say it was because of him. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, it is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground. In other words, we're going to be planted in the ground or put into an urn. And when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They will be buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength, and they will be buried as human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Shall I have the victory over death? I have resurrection power. Death, hell, the grave couldn't hold them. It can't hold me either. I mean, it can't hold you no more. You have the victory over death. What Paul was saying is that when we're planted into the ground, if you know Jesus, that's not your final resting place. See, we were created perishable, like you know, you see fruit and vegetables, those perish after a period of time on a shelf. There's an expiration date. But with the resurrection, what that means for you and for me is that we don't have an expiration date. Oh, I don't know about you. That means we're imperishable, God bless you. That means that we're immune from decay. We're immortal. We're to live forever with Jesus. The moment that you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have victory over the death, over hell, and over the grave. I don't know about you, but I said amen to that. Take a look at Luke 24, verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. This is the New King James Version. I like this because, see, once we were perishable, and I don't know about you, but when something's going to perish, you tend to throw it out. But Jesus never threw us out. He made us imperishable. Take a look at Luke 24, verse 1. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. I'm thinking it was real early in the morning because that's what it said. They and a certain other woman with them came to a tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. See, it was tradition that they would prepare the body. They'd bring spices and linens and all that to wrap up a body that has been dead. They were already told by Jesus that he was going to rise, but they didn't understand yet. So they brought their finest spices and all their things to prepare for this body, but they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. It was a big stone, so it couldn't be moved by one person. It had to be moved by many. Or by a movement of God. And they went in and couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because, man, he was gone. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. They were angels. Verse 5. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is what? Risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and then on the third day will rise again. We become imperishable according to this resurrection. I love what the angel said. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Stone was rolled in. They went to see, and hey, where's that Jesus at? He ain't here no more. Well, you would expect if someone was dead, they would be there. But Jesus said, I would rise to fulfill the scriptures. Why are you seeking something dead when he's already alive? That should say something about our life. Sometimes we seek after things that are dead when we should be seeking after things that are alive. See, what God was trying to say is don't be so fascinated with death, but be so fascinated about life. Because life I'm going to give you more abundantly when you follow me. The rest of their lives, these ladies, these women, were fascinated with life. This morning, what you place your focus on, you will possess. This morning, what are you focusing on? Some dead situations? Some past hurts? Some difficulties? See, even in Christ, the greatest and the least are assured that death will no longer have victory over them. It doesn't matter if you're a poor man or a rich man. Once you have Jesus, guess what? You get to go to heaven. You have the victory over sin's dominion. When Jesus rose from the dead, you got the victory over sin's dominion. Shall I have victory over sin? I have victory over sin. See, we were born in sin, but the resurrection has raised us in the glory of God. We've been washed by the blood. We've been made spotless. We no longer have sin. There's no longer, you know, people can point out things about you, but God doesn't. He doesn't hold things against you. Why? Because you've been washed in His blood. You're brand new. It's like a white erase board. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. See, you were sown in weakness, but you were raised in power. You were born weak, and you couldn't resist sin and temptation. But through the power of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, all those things have been broken. You can do some things now. You have the capability, the ability now to do it. Take a look at John 11, verse 24. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? Remember Lazarus, the brother? Martha and Mary, you know, always busy doing some stuff. New King James Version in John 11, verse 24. John 11, verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will raise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, Martha, baby, let me get you straight here. I am the resurrection and the life. I be it. I'm the man. I'm going to help you. He who believes in me, not in Buddha, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Not in Muhammad, but those who believe in me, Jesus, though he may be dead, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? The problem is most people don't believe it. They're in unbelief. When I check out and I step out of here, I'm stepping into eternity. To be absent from the body is to be present with who? Jesus. Jesus gave you power over sin, power over temptation, power over the lust of your flesh, power over drugs, power over alcohol, power over broken relationship, power over financial bondage, power over every circumstance in your life. All the power is given to us through the resurrection of Jesus because the power of God was still able to raise Jesus from the dead. How much more can that same power enable you to live extraordinary lives? God wants to transfer that resurrection power into your life. Not that you have an ordinary life, but an extraordinary life. God wants you to do things that people talk about, even at your age. God is not through with you wherever you're at today. Think about that. Well, you know, I'm too old to do that, you know, and I just retired, and I've already done all that. I don't have to do any more for God. God's just starting with you. He got all the childish stuff out of you. Now he can use you. He probably got you in a financial position now that you can be a blessing. See, the resurrection demonstrates the power for a comeback. Now, I don't know about you, but a couple years ago, the Lions, the Detroit Lions football team, were known for their comeback. They would stink the first half. But the second half, oh my God, they would come back from 21 points, 28 points, and score and win at the end of the game and have a victory. They would come back. Just recently, I don't know if you watch basketball, but the team from Michigan were down by 10 points. They brought it into overtime, and then they won it, and they came back. Shout out this morning, I possess the power for a comeback. I'm the comeback kid. So you got to understand something. God is the God of a second chance and a third chance and a 28th chance and a 500th chance. Amen. He can turn things around that look hopeless. I thought about this, and I thought about Jesus, and I was watching the Bible yesterday on TV. I don't know, tonight's the final thing, but oh man, it's been good, you know. And I was watching, you know, the story, and then he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's like, Lord, man, I really don't want to do this, but I'll do it. Not my will, but your will be done. And what looked real bleak on Friday afternoon become the greatest comeback on Sunday morning. Amen. Let me tell you something. No matter how far you strayed from God, no matter how long you've been on your own path and not His path, because of the resurrection power, it reaches deep down, even into hell, to give you an opportunity to have a comeback. Say, today is that day. Today I'm going to have a comeback. Well, I can't do that. I've tried this program and I've tried that, and that doesn't work for me. Well, you haven't tried Jesus. Today is the day that God wants to transfer His resurrection power into your life so that you can be complete. I have many friends that belong to the AA program, and they do the 12-step, and they faithfully go, and it gives them a chance to talk to people, but they know it was the first step to Christ is the one that set them free. See, the resurrection demonstrates something also. It talks about the reach of God's redemption. You might have blown it. You might have missed the mark. You might have not done everything the right way, but God has a way of redeeming you. Redeemed of the Lord, say so. Amen. Shall I have been redeemed? I've been bought back with a great price. I'm redeemed by Jesus. I think about Paul. Remember when he was Saul and he was persecuting the Christians? How terrible he was. I watched a little bit of that in the Bible and on the show. And he was a smart guy, but when he served the devil, man, he served the devil 100%. Kind of sound like me. I served the devil. I served him 100%. I could sin better than all you combined. I was a good sinner. I was. I could drink. I could smoke. I'd get you in trouble. I'd beat you up. I'd bust your car up. I didn't care who you is. That's if you're from Detroit, you understand that slang. I was no different than Saul. He wasn't proud that he persecuted the Christians. But then he had a transformation, a radical transformation. He had an experience with God, and he no longer was Saul, but now Paul. And he became, in his words, the least of all the apostles, but he was the greatest of all the apostles. He wrote most of the New Testament. He was snatched out of the depths of sin by the resurrection of God's power. What Paul was really saying to you and to me is that no matter how unworthy we are, no matter how undeserving of His grace that we are, when we invite Jesus as Lord and Savior in our life, it squares it all away. Amen. Psalms 119, it's not up there, but it tells that there is never a mountain too high, never a sea too deep, never a place too far that God can't reach us. God wants to redeem us. He wants to use us. When that stone was rolled away, it was for you and me to go, hey, what's in there? Hey. Remember we talked about that Jesus shared with us that He was going to raise from the dead, but we didn't believe that. We were still in unbelief. That was that faith. But then we went in and He's no longer there, and man, He is risen. See, God should have given us a blast of judgment, but instead He offered us the blessing of the redemption through His Son Jesus. God so loved us that He gave us His only begotten Son. You can't get to God by doing 5 Hail Marys and 7 Our Fathers, or just being a good person. Well, I'm a good person. You're going to hell. I was a good person too in my eyes. I helped some of the poor that were on the street. I gave shelter to some of the homeless. And I didn't know Jesus. I knew of Him. I was just trying to help the girl out. Trying to be the life of the party. But then I looked inside that tomb one day and something changed. All that He had spoken became now a reality. Think about that. All that I heard about Jesus during my walk as a Christian, and that was before I was saved. I was a good Catholic boy, and I don't knock it, and I got taught a lot of good stuff and all that. But until I looked into the tomb for myself, until I stepped on in and said, He ain't there no more. He has risen. Did it finally make sense to me that there really is a God? I've been playing church. I've been playing like I knew God. But until I got to experience it, until I got to walk inside that tomb and say, He ain't here no more. You ever been to a party and you're 1 week late? Where's everybody at? He's alive. I ain't serving a dead God. I'm not serving a God that they buried and put away and He didn't rise. Confucius, he dead. He ain't doing nothing for me. There's not a prayer I can do to get him to do anything for me. Buddha, I put another dollar bill on him at the Chinese restaurant, but he ain't doing nothing for me. Just getting bigger, and I'm going to need a larger casket for him. Muhammad, he did. He perished. But that Jesus, he's alive. They nailed him to the cross on Friday. But Sunday he rose to fill the scriptures. The empty tomb is just a reminder of who we serve. We serve an awesome God. And as we celebrate Easter today, let us focus on our life with a risen Christ. Let us act in the power that God's given us as followers of Christ Jesus. We say we're believers, but sometimes we don't act like we are. This morning, let's walk in that resurrection power. God wants to transfer that resurrection power into your life so that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You got to remember what Jesus did. The sin, sickness, disease was all washed away by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. We have the victory over death's defeat, over sin's dominion. We have the power to come back. And finally, we see God's redemptive quality through Jesus and his nature. But we got to apply that resurrection power in our lives to overcome things. Well, Pastor, I'm just defeated. You always will be if you say you are. Why don't you start focusing on something that's alive than something that is dead? Why did you come and see us? Why are you coming to visit the dead? He's alive. That's why when someone passes away, I reflect upon the time when you go honor and you go see that person in the casket. But that's not the person. He's already alive. What you see is something that you thought's perished, but it's imperishable if they knew Jesus. This little flesh and blood body going bye-bye, but I got a new body. Amen? I'm not of this earth, neither are you. You were just made out of dust. That's what it says. You ever see when they cremate a body what that ends up being? Dust. That ain't the person. That person's already with Jesus. If they knew him. If they got that resurrection power in their life, that once you think they're dead, but they're really alive. That's why I don't get all upset and bent out of shape. Yeah, you missed a person in the physical realm, but I know I'm going to see them here very soon. Amen? I mean, I know they were all upset. I mean, these people all got to see Jesus again. Doesn't it say that in the book of Acts, Jesus visited them? Even Doubting Thomas? I have to see those marks in his hands and in his feet in order to believe he's risen. Then Jesus taps on his shoulder and says, oh, hey, by the way, give me five. I did that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, did you want to see my side, too, that they did? You want to see my side profile, baby? Yeah, I'm alive. So you got to understand that he is alive. He rose from the dead to fulfill the scriptures. He's alive. He's alive because he loves you and he loves me. He wanted to fulfill the scriptures. This morning, there's some things in you, in all of us, that need to change. And the only way we can change it is by his resurrection power being transferred in our life. So this morning, what I want to do before we go, I told you I'd be brief. We're going to come up and sing the last song that we sing. And then I want everybody to come up. And I just want to pray a blessing. upon you. And I want to just release the resurrection power of Christ Jesus into your life. Because I don't want you to come into church the same way you left. When I go to a buffet, and I had plenty of them this week, I didn't go in the same way I walked. I didn't go out the same way I walked in. I walked in and I was hungry. When I walked out, I was full. That's the way we should be when we come to church. We come in hungry to get something from God. And we don't drink just the milk, but we eat of the meat of the Word. Then we walk out full and nourished and ready to accomplish and complete all that God has for us. I was just thinking how good my God is. They had to roll that stone away for Doubting Jeff to go in inside to see that he is alive. He's no longer there. Some of us had to walk in there to really, I got to see it to believe it. He did that for you and for me. Why? Because he loves you. Because he cares for you.